Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And we're going to talk about names. So as we do, I want you to remember your mom, what her name is, or the person in your life that was the most like a mom to you. Because in a moment, I'm just going to say Happy Mother's Day, and we're going to fill in the blank. So I want to hear all those names of all the mothers and the people who have been like mothers in your life. So are you ready? Got that name? Okay, online, same thing. Want you to yell out in your room or wherever you happen to be. Here we go. Happy Mother's Day, Barbara. Okay, did we hear some names, different names? Maybe even hear a name you already know. But isn't it great that moms are special people? There's no way around it. My first identity crisis pretty much in life was as a mom. I was sending off our firstborn, Tamara, off to college, and I suddenly thought, I won't be known as Tamara's mother anymore. Who am I? What am I going to do? I had three other children, but this was a major crisis. I had built a name for myself as Tamara's mother, and now I wouldn't be known as Tamara's mother. Do you know, none of you here know me as a mother or my husband as a father. By the way, this was a hard week for him. He didn't know what to do with himself because he wasn't preaching today. See, he was wandering around like a sad lost puppy, and I'm going, you need a hobby. But it was like, can I help you? You need anything? So it was really kind of funny. But he loves doing this job. Me, I'm a bit of a wreck up here because he does such a good job of it. But anyway, back to my crisis as a mom and my name having built it. So you don't know us as parents, as a mom and a dad. So I thought, at first, at least, you need to meet our four children and our nine grandchildren. So let's do that. Our eldest daughter is Tamara, and this is her family. And then you see our eldest son, Sean, and his family. His family will increase to another little boy before the end of the year. So that's kind of special. Then our next child was Tiffany, and this is her family, okay? And then the youngest is Courtney, and that is his family. And you often hear us talk about being online, having kids' church with our grandkids on Sunday nights, and those are the two that we're on FaceTiming with kids' church on Sunday night, which we'll probably do tonight as well. So that is our family, okay? And I've heard moms make this phrase. They'll say, kids fill me up. And I think after three or four kids, the phrase from me was always, if you want the fastest way to be exhausted totally and sucked the life right out of you, it's being a mom and having kids. That's what they do to you. They're totally exhausting and overwhelming, and sometimes it's just messy. You know, moms? Yeah? Maybe that's not your experience, but maybe you only had one. But if you have more than one, I think it gets that way. And you can. But it's also very, very awesome. And that's why I felt such a loss when Tamara went off to college, because it was awful. And I wouldn't be known as that mother anymore. So when babies are coming, I know Renee is in this process. No, I think they're done. They already found a name. But parents immediately start doing a name search, right? They want to find out, because names are important. We want to pick the right name for our child. We don't want them burdened with a name. We want them to have a really good name. So we work on that. So I'm going to go back a little and say, as a mom, I was known first, before I ever became a mom, as Vicky with an E. Do you see that? With an E. And not Victoria. I have friends in my life that say, you're not a Vicky to me, you're a Victoria. And I go, well, okay, but I'm really just a plain, ordinary Vicky with an E. And so that's who I am. And then my grandmother used to call me Sweetie. That was really special. And then when I got older, I became a telephone operator. That was my first job. And in high school, and then I became an executive secretary in college, so an office manager. Then when I get to college, I became a librarian, and that was the name I carried around for a while, and cheerleader, okay. And that's when I met my husband, so I took on a new name then, and that was Rat. Now, you'll have to ask him about that because I still don't get that, really. Okay. And then not long after that, I became a wife. Then I had to really start reading books. How do you be a wife? I don't know how to be a wife. They don't send you to school to be a wife. How do you be a wife? And so I started reading some books. And then not long after becoming a wife, I became a mother. Then I read a lot more books because then I'm totally lost and I don't know what to do. So I got to make a name for myself. I got to learn how to do this new name that I have. And then I realized when you're a mom, you're a caregiver forever. It's not just until they're 3, 4, 18. It's forever. And then we became youth pastors, literally a couple of weeks after the firstborn. And it's like, how do you be a youth pastor's wife? I don't know. And then became a teacher because they said, hey, can you go in and teach the kids? Well, sure. I could take that name on too. Yeah. And then as we got older, after our second child, we became full pastors, not youth pastors, but the main pastor. And they asked me, how's it feel to be a pastor's wife? I say, I really don't know. I'm really struggling just to being a wife and a mother. You know, I just can't go there. And then I had 3 more kids, so that was more stuff and more hats, more names, okay? Moms, are you like me? You get the names mixed up. It's like, hey, you, whatever your name is, just get over here. And then having more people in the family, it's like I gotta be a chef. I gotta cook for them. You can't buy meals out when you have that many, right? It just costs too much. We used to go to Denny's because kids ate for free. Okay, and then if you get that many kids, you got to become a chauffeur, and then a referee, right? Yeah, referee and a party planner, right? It's all, and the list goes on, right? And then suddenly you realize this is a lot. If I'm going to make a name for myself, right? This is a lot to carry, and it's hard, and it's hard work. So you say, "Woo, that's really hard to do all that." And so that's me making a name for myself. And it's just a lot of work. You know, the Bible talks a lot about names. And a lot of them belong to Jesus. Do you know he had 194 different names? Some of them before he was ever born. God just likes naming things. Do you know there's over 200 billion stars? And the Bible says God named them. It's like, how does he keep all that straight? I couldn't keep 4 kids straight. 200 billion stars? That's ridiculous. I tried to sit down and figure out how many zeros that is, and I was so stressed over the sermon I gave up. I just, my mind can't go there. That's just too much. But these aren't adjectives. They're real names that Jesus had. He had real names. And so we're going to look at a few of them. Isaiah 9:6 says, he's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Boy, how many moms have said, I want a counselor. I really need God. And an everlasting Father? That's pretty cool. Not only that, if you're like me on Mother's Day, I was always asking this of my kids, I just want peace. And they say, ask for something else, Mom, you're not getting that. Then Matthew 1:23 says that he's Emmanuel, God with us. How special a name is that? That's really cool. Then Matthew 1:21 and Isaiah 59:20 says he's our Savior. You know, that name was given to Joseph before Jesus was ever born. The angel came and said to Joseph, you're going to call his name Jesus, which means Savior. How cool is that? Redeemer. And then we look at John. John gives us, and Jesus even said this in John 14. He said, I am the way. You guys can finish this. What? The truth. And how many times you want the truth out of your kids? Okay. And the life, right? Life. There's times in my life I've said, God, I really need life right now. And then John 8, he said, I am. I am. And then he says, I'm the bread of life. And that one, could you get that for me, please? I'm sorry. I'm trying to not make a mess, and I'm making a mess. John 11:27 says, he said this too, I am the light of the world. And he didn't end there. In Revelation, as we look into the future, he calls himself the Alpha. That's in Revelation 1:8. The Alpha, then what else? The Omega. And he says, this trumps them all. We're going to put this at the top. He said in John 11, Son of God. Trumps all the other names. Son of God. Now I can breathe a little lighter. These names really help comfort my soul. And these are great names, aren't they? But the Bible doesn't stop there. The Bible talks about a lot of people, over 3,000 different kinds of people. And why? I don't know about you, but they're like speed bumps as we read the scriptures. We just go run roughshod over them, can't even pronounce half of them. So why are they in there? Because God likes names, and he likes people. He really likes people. So why in the world? So I want to stop now, and I want to look at Proverbs 22:1, because that's the gist of what we're talking about today. And it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Now, some of you in here would say, hey, I'll sell you mine for some silver or gold, right? And then what are you going to do with it? Go use the silver and gold to try and make a name for yourself? Because that's what it's all about, right? And then you make a name for yourself, and then you're working really hard trying to keep that name for yourself, right? So this is a hard thing, making a name for yourself. It's hard. So what do you do about it? We're going to talk about that now, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And for God to give each one of you here, whether you're a mother or not, something to go home with, I'm just asking him to zing it into your heart, the scripture that you need to hear today and what you need to hear from him. So shall we pray? Father, we lay the next few minutes before your throne, asking that you do the impossible, and that's break through our hearing and our hearts into soft, malleable ground to drop in what you want us to hear and know today directly from heaven. We pray for each person in your name. Amen. Now I'd like the ushers to come. They're going to pass out some envelopes. And don't open your envelope till I say so, but make sure you get one. If your ability to write, if you're of the age that you can write, you should take an envelope, because we're going to be doing something with those envelopes, and I want you to be able to have it to take home. Usually we're really impressed if people remember our names, but there are some times in life when you don't want somebody to remember your name, right? We like to hide, and we like to be in secret. And my husband has told this story about the student that went for his exam, and the professor proctor, the exam proctor, said, time's up, put your pens down, bring your exams forward. And one student just kept writing. He said, I said, put your pen down, bring your exams forward. And the kid just kept writing. And so he gets up out of his chair, and he says, he pointed straight to the kid. He said, do you know who I am? And the student gets up, starts walking forward with his paper, and he says, yes, sir, I do. He said, do you know who I am? And he said, no, I don't. And he said, good. And he shoved the paper inside the middle of the exams. So there are times we don't want anybody to know our name, right? We just want to be anonymous. And there are times like that. But there are times in our life that we've been labeled and given a name that we hide. Sometimes we've given it to ourselves. Maybe we've never even said it out loud, but we've named ourselves. This starts really young. It started for me in preschool. I went to a new school. My parents moved around a lot. I went to a new school, and they had this, it's in the South this time, came from Ohio to North Carolina to go to school, totally different school. And the teacher had little snacks, snack time. I go, oh, this is kind of cool. So it was milk and cookies. I nearly died at birth from dairy, and it was fairly unheard of back then. Now it's kind of normal, but at that point it wasn't normal. And the teacher said, well, you're a liar. You just don't want it. I'm going to hide that in here, because I don't really like that name, and I don't want others to call me that name, but she did. And it hurt. And I said, no, I'm not. I really am. I can't drink the milk. And then I got a spanking and had to drink the milk. That's a whole different ballgame. And then in second grade, we moved again, obviously, new school, new everything. And I'm doing all my work, and I'm happy little student, working away. When the teacher comes by and whacks me with a ruler and starts yelling at me and saying, you're evil. Not only that, she said, you're deformed. Because I wrote with my left hand. So those are things I hide and I don't talk about. You've probably got some names like that. Maybe they're like stupid, dummy, clumsy, unwanted, addict, worthless, useless. I want you to open your envelope, and inside that envelope, in the very front, is a blank card. It should look like that. Those of you at home watching online, just go get some paper and a pen, and you can do this along with us. I would like for you to do that, please. So just take that out, and if you would, pick one of those names that you keep hidden, because there's two others that I have. I had two blank ones, and I threw them away thinking they were useless and totally forgot. I had two blank ones I was going to put here, because in junior high school and high school, I was given names that I won't even share with you. I've shared you these hidden names, but there is two I was given that I don't share at all. We were at a conference 20 years after high school out in California when I heard this person call me, and they said, I knew that was you because, and they mentioned that hidden name. And so I just looked at them. I said, nice to see you. Goodbye. And I walked away because I did not want to be called by that name. I didn't want to be remembered by that name. And it just cut down to the core that it had taken 20 years to get fixed. And you may have names like that. And they're not on the outside. They're on the inside where only you know them. Write that one that sticks in your mind on that card. And then if you would, put it back in the envelope. Okay, and we'll get back into that envelope a little later, okay? Those secret names can be really hard. So the question is, what do we do with them? There's a better choice. See, in life, you only have two choices. You have a choice, make a name for yourself, or guess what? Take a name God has for you. That's a great choice. I don't know about you, but that's a great choice. So if you want to do that, you can leave here today with a better name than you came in with. All you have to do is make the choice to do so. And it can be these, and then we're going to go through. Where's my... I am missing Surely Not. How did that happen? Oh, well, I'm just going to have to say them. You're going to have to pretend I'm putting a lot of names on here because they're missing. And I don't know where they are. But they're not here. I was going to plaster all these names up and you'd get to see them. But we're going to just fly through this anyway without them, okay? So we want to look at this one here because this is the one that is the best one. Right there. And we're going to look at a scripture about it. Okay? Because that one, according to... the scripture. You can go ahead and put it up there because I can't read the one on here. Isaiah, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Did you get that? God summons you by name. He's not the kind of person that says, hey, you over there, hey, you dressed in the red, hey, you dressed in the green, come for it. No, he doesn't do that. Doesn't do that at all. He calls you by name. And he says, I will give you the treasures. And then John 1:12 says this, yet to all who receive, in other words, if you say, I'm going to quit making a name for myself, I'm just going to stop it, and I'm going to choose to take the name God gives me, he says this, if you choose that, if you decide, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, I get to be a son of God. And I put that one there because I'm not really a guy. I'm a daughter of God. So I'm a daughter of God. So you can do that. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? You can make that choice to be a son or a daughter of God and called by his name. Now we're going to do a little science lesson. In the last couple of decades, the NNSA, that's the National Nuclear Security Administration, that's a mouthful, isn't it? They have been working on trying to discover how much light a human can see, and they've been able to measure it exactly, how much light they can see, we can see as humans. So, oh, you threw that up too early, but that's okay. That's how much we can actually see. Out of all the light out there, that's how much we can actually see. So when you think of the light that we can see, light like my jacket here. This jacket is, I think it's called Tiffany Blue. And the way we see, we only see reflected or direct light. In other words, what you're seeing is every color but Tiffany Blue because it's reflected. And then the direct light would be actual light bulbs. Those bulbs, those kind of lights. But everything else is reflected. So you're not really seeing Tiffany Blue. You're seeing everything but Tiffany Blue. And so what is the color that reflects all light? What color is that? Those of you that did your science lesson, white. Somebody over here said it. White. So the color that absorbs all light? Black. Right. So the world's light that we see as human beings is deceptive, is it not? It is very deceptive because this is all you see. Of the known light in the universe that we know as humans, the light that we know, this is all we see. That's not much. So our youngest daughter right now, youngest granddaughter, is Ever. I'm going to show you a picture that's 0.0005 of Ever. Here she is. There you go. Now, how would you like as a human being to decide your name and who you are by that picture? Because that's what we do. When we make a name for ourselves, all we see is what humans see in light. And it's only 0.0005% of light that exists, known light, much less light we don't know about. That's all we see. So I don't want Ever growing up thinking that's how everybody sees her, and they're just going to make up their own mind who she is and what she is. So let's look at the whole picture of Ever. There she is. That's the youngest grandchild. Soon there'll be another one, but right now she's the youngest grandchild. She is vivacious. She is funny. She is hilarious. She has so many wonderful things, and she has so much great potential, but you would never know that by looking at that one little speck, would you? But yet that's what we do. And God says, don't do it. In James 1:7, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of, guess what? Heavenly lights. In other words, he's got all the light spectrum. We only have a little tiny bit, and I love this part, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, there's no change in him, and his light is there all the time to shine for us. Now, how do we get a new name if we're going to take on and allow God to give us his chosen name? How do we go about that? Well, according to this scripture, I can't read it. It's Galatians 2:20. I thought I'd be able to read these. 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. In other words, we choose when we want to take God's name, the one he's chosen for us, we have to believe that Christ died for our sins. I believe he has a name for me that's better than any of these that I had, and he's going to give that to me. And as a daughter of God, if I make that choice, I get that. And so he's living in me. And then the other scripture in Galatians 3:26, 27. So if Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed, that's the outside now, yourself with Christ. So if I choose to get this name here, daughter of God, and I am willing to accept his name for me, then I have him on the inside and on the outside. There's a little problem, however. You know, we always say, you know, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, right? And a lot of people think it's OMG and stuff like that. Well, that's not good. It's not cool. But the biggest way to take God's name in vain is to put this name on and leave these. In other words, nobody needs to know the hidden names, but God does. And he's saying, you can't have both. To be this child, I have to take these off. They cannot be who I am. I can't be known by them. I am this. And in so doing, I am heir with God. And here I'm so sad that I'm missing all the labels. I have no idea where they went. But I'm going to go through this as if I had the labels, okay? So here we go. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, and this is a name label that I would stick on. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. In other words, I could have a label that says delight. I'm a delight. Is that cool? I'm a delight. God sees me as a delight. So that's a name. You can maybe write that one down. That's a name, because we're going to get to that in a minute. And the next scripture, Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. So I would slap on chosen. I'm chosen. And he has made me holy and without fault. I'm blameless or forgiven. How cool is that? And that's the next, the verse, Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, well, yahoo, I am he who will sustain you. So I could put that label on sustained. And then I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. I bet there's every mother out here wants to be rescued. We get FaceTime calls from Kimmy, Ever's mother, that says, I can't handle her, rescue me. We get these FaceTime when she's just beside herself as a mom. And so we need that rescue. Romans 5:19, for as by man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. So I am righteous before God. So I've got delight, I've got sustained, rescued, and also righteous. Then, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He left the riches of heaven to come to earth for you and I, so that you by his poverty might become, guess what? Rich. Wow. Everybody's working so hard to get rich. And yet, that's my inheritance if I'm an heir of God. So that's pretty cool. Next scripture, it says that, even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. In other words, cherished. My next name is cherished. I'm cherished. Then, and if children, then heirs and joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So my next one is I'm an heir to the greatest riches in the universe, right? And beyond. That's the cool thing. It goes beyond this world. And I love this scripture. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor fear or store away barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable? So I'm valuable. That's my other label. I'm valuable. That's precious. Then the next scripture is, be strong and courageous. So I'm strong and I'm courageous. Those are the next two labels. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I am never alone. My father will turn 96 next month, just a few weeks, and almost every time he says, I'm never alone. I may be here and things aren't the way I had thought they would be at this age. Didn't think I'd be here at 96, but he said, I'm never alone. When you're an heir, when you're a daughter of God or a son of God, you're never alone. That is really cool. Then we have the next scripture. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're forgiven. So forgiven. I don't have to hold anything. I'm forgiven. Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Treasured. That's a great name, isn't it? Treasured. cherished, treasured, valuable. And then the other scripture, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we're conquerors too. That's another name, conquerors. And then we end with this one. This is the best one. And this one I have somewhere. Yes, right. Okay, I was chosen. A couple of them. I don't know where the others went. And I am priceless. Because Romans 8 says, you are loved beyond measure. I am priceless. And then Romans 8:38 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I would put another one on here, loved. Loved. Did you get all those? If you're a son or daughter of God, you get all those names. Much more valuable than these. And I don't have to carry any of them. I don't have to work for them. I'm not spending my energy on them. I'm just, if I'm a child of God, I'm allowing him to flow through me. And he says, if I seek him first, all those things will come that are needful. I don't have to work at it. I can allow him. I can just spend time with him. Not all. Obviously, you can't be a person who doesn't work at all. You get the idea. Okay, so if we're heirs, we're joint heirs, and we get all this. This is great. Now, I want to tell you quickly the story of Madeline, one of our grandchildren. I called her this week, and I said, Maddie, would you mind if I share your story? She said, wonderful. If it'll help somebody, yes. So I said, okay, then. When she was born, her biological father walked off. He said, I can't be a father. I don't want to be a father. And he walked off. So when she was born, she came into our home to live and took on the Warner name. And this is her story in a few words here. And I want you to get the opening. She says, when at 2 weeks, my father walked off, because at that point, at 2 weeks, he literally, after saying, I think I can, he left for good. We never heard from her, saw from him for years and years and years and years. So I want you to hear her story.
Hi, my name is Madeline, or as I prefer, Maddie. I am 10 years old, and here is my story. I was adopted by my dad, Shane, 7 years ago. He is the only dad I have ever known. I love him very much. I have a birth father, and his name is Jeff. He walked out on me when I was 2 weeks old. I am mad that he left because he wanted to be with another girl. I am mad that he has other kids now and doesn't take care of me. Sometimes I wonder what he looks like. I wonder if he ever thinks about me. I wonder if Jeff is funny like my dad, or completely opposite. I choose to forgive Jeff for leaving me because 3 years ago he wrote me and told me he was sorry. He wants to be in my life, but I am not ready for that right now. I don't know if I will ever want him in my life. I don't blame my mom for anything, for I know she is truly sorry for all the pain that this has caused me. I talk about my adoption every year on January 9th. My dad and I celebrate my adoption birthday every year. We go out on a date all alone, and he tells me he is so glad I am his. I know he will never leave me. We talk about any feelings or questions I may have about my birth father. I just don't want any of you to make the same mistake my mom did. I am not a mistake. I am very loved, and I would say even extra loved, since my dad chose me. Just know that we don't stay Cupids forever. One day we grow up and have questions that you as a parent will have to answer. I am Maddie, and this is my story.
Forgot to tell you that it was about her adopted father. 3 years later, a wonderful guy came by and adopted her, and that was about, I don't know about my other father, but adopted father. And that would be nice if the story ended there. But it did not. Years later, her wonderful adopted father found out through a series of events and a DNA test that the only father he had never, ever known was not his real father. So he went out on a search for his name, and he hasn't come back yet from that search. So Maddie went through the ordeal of being rejected by two fathers, and it's been sent her down a really dark path. And last year, she called and FaceTimed us, and she said after going through a lot of prayer and a lot of hard work, she said she was tired of finding a name for herself and making one for herself. It was too hard. She was coming full circle. And she said to us, FaceTiming us with a smile on her face, outside the courthouse, she said, I did it. She said, I changed my name. I'm a Warner again. She felt, and I think you need to hear the last words on that film when she had an adopted father was, I am not an accident. I am loved. I am chosen. I am cherished. And she says today, because she's back with her proper chosen name for that God's giving her, and she has that, is she's a daughter of God who doesn't change, never abandons us. She's chosen, she's priceless, and she's wanted. If you would look in your envelope now, there is a yellow card. Leave it there. I'm just going to tell you about it, but you can leave it in the envelope. This is a 21-day challenge. Just go online on your phone or on a computer and call up a Better Answer podcast with Kyle Ranson. And by the way, I picked this name thing straight from him. So a better, not the names on it, but the idea of using name tags. So take that challenge, because the more you know about who your father is, the better you're going to know what name he's picked for you. So inside there is another card. It looks like this with some writing on it. I want you to pull that out. In a moment when the worship team comes, we're going to be singing a song. And while we sing, I want you to write. And you're going to write your new name, the name God has for you, the one that only he knows, because he sees all light. He doesn't see that little tiny speck that only we see. He sees your full potential. God knows who you need to be. Remember, God is so into names that he changes people's names. He's changed Abraham's name. He changed Sarah's name. He changed Simon Peter's name. He changed Paul's name. He's into name changing if he feels the name you have is not up to your potential that he sees. Remember, he sees far more than you and I see. We want his name. But we're going to read this card together, so I want you to hold this. And then you're going to write whatever name God has for you in that other space. So you ready? Let's read it together. Ready? Satan knows your name, but calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. We were in a conference this week, and this was the speaker, and he said this, and we all said, that's worth quoting. So when you read this on your own during the week, and right now while we're going to just take some time, read it and say, Satan knows my name, but calls me by my sin. God knows my sin, but calls me by my name. And before you leave today, I want you to take the one that you wrote that's your hidden name, the one that you should no longer have if you're a child of God. And it's a choice you can make today, either at home or wherever you are online or here in the sanctuary today. You choose to allow God to give you the name he's given you, or you keep working on making your own name. It's hard. I'm telling you, it's going to take all your energy and all your time. And you'll have everything you need if you just take that name. Take that card that you wrote, that hidden name, and just lay it on the altar. Don't take it home with you. Lay it here, and you can use the front two pews if you have a hard time getting here because of mom's gifts. But leave that card here. Don't take it home with you. Leave it here on the altar and say, I am not going to take God's name in vain. If I'm going to be a child of God, I can't have hidden names. I can't allow those names to take precedent over what God has for me. So the worship team, come, we're going to pray. Father, all of us struggle with the messiness of life and trying to have a good name. But you make it very clear the only way we can succeed at that as being a mom or a son or a daughter is in when we are your children and we choose to be your name instead of trying to work on one of our own. Thank you, Lord, for that. In your name, amen. I want to show you one last picture of Maddie and Tiffany. This is she and her mom. And my husband came up with a better name for this sermon, really, but it was too late to change everything. And it was that moms, be a daughter. We're all daughters or sons first. And Jesus said, unless you become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So be a daughter first. And if we're just daughters of God, that's all that's required. And pick a good name. So let's, she'll laugh at strength and dignity and laughs. That's our privilege as a mom, if we take on his name instead of working on one of our own. Again, did you find the picture of Tiff and Maddie? There they are. So that's Madeline today, and that's her mother today. And then the names that they can choose from that I didn't have my labels for. Yeah, there you go. Can choose any of those. Great. Great names that God has for you. So let's write chosen name, and then after this and the pastor concludes the service, you can come up and lay that hidden name, secret name that nobody needs to take home with them.